Let's get back to the Capitol, Washington, D.C., where our Bureau Chief Simon Marks is standing by once again. Just thought you thought you could pack it up for the night there, Simon, but it's not over till it's over there. You know, lots of chatter, reports out that something's cooking or brewing. U.S. networks now saying that they're all coming on air in the next few minutes with unexpected live election programming. I mean, what are we expecting to see here?
Well, there's an awful lot of moving parts going on here simultaneously, Adam. On the one hand, we're getting a fresh batch of results in Arizona. And remember that while the Associated Press has called Arizona for Joe Biden, the television networks here in the United States have not yet done that. And it may well be that in the course of the next hour, they choose to make that call. That would take their delegate count to the same place where the Associated Press delegate count currently stands. But we've also seen within the last 30 minutes fresh results being tabulated in Georgia, and Donald Trump's lead there over Joe Biden being substantially reduced. Joe Biden is now within 40,000 votes of surpassing Donald Trump in Georgia. And the state says that there are still 122,000 absentee ballots out there that they have not yet processed. And those absentee ballots in Georgia, as they have been doing in Pennsylvania, where the margin of President Trump's advantage over Joe Biden is gradually being frittered away, those postal votes are mitigating heavily in Joe Biden's favor. Indeed, in parts of Pennsylvania, 70% of those postal votes that have already been processed over the last few hours are for Joe Biden and not for Donald Trump. So the stage is set here for more drama, not necessarily the closing act in this election, but the television networks coming on air here tonight with additional election programming, and they may choose to make additional calls depending on how their decision desks interpret the data that they're seeing, not just from Arizona, but also from Georgia, from Pennsylvania. There was a back and forth over whether Nevada was going to publish more results tonight. They decided within the last couple of hours that they would wait until tomorrow morning. But it's perfectly possible that we're going to see more states being called over the course of the next 2 or 3 hours. And we may see, not saying it's going to happen, but we may see the networks beginning to conclude that they understand the final contours of this race and possibly projecting that Donald Trump no longer has a path to victory. The Trump campaign insists they absolutely do have a path to victory, and they say it's all going to boil down to postal votes in Pennsylvania, where they are now engaged in multiple legal actions in a bid to try and stop the vote counting from continuing.
That's what I wanted to get to, in fact, Simon. I mean, you've heard the saying, desperate times for desperate measures, or desperate measures for desperate times, I should say. And if it is conclusive or close to that, that, you know, this presidential race does eventually go to Joe Biden, you know, let's talk about the legal path to challenging, you know, the counting of these mail-in ballots in some of these states. Because, I mean, from the number of guests that I've been speaking to this morning here in Asia, in the U.S., they've said that basically the state Supreme Courts or the courts there have full autonomy in terms of the ruling of the legitimacy of counting those votes. So what legitimacy does Donald Trump and his campaign have in challenging those state courts?
Well, I mean, it's very hard to see what the basis would be for taking legal action to try and stop a state from counting votes. Now, Donald Trump has been taking legal action today to try and make sure that his election observers are granted full access to vote counting sites. There are a whole raft of regulations that differ from state to state about that, including in some states the need to have balance. So the same number of Democrat poll watchers as Republican poll watchers. And we've seen some locations today where there were too many Republican poll watchers, and the Republicans objected when they were told to remove some of their observers from those sorting centres. So Donald Trump's mounting that kind of legal access to gain a challenge to gain what he refers to as access. He did ask on Twitter a couple of hours ago, well, what good does that do? Because the election's integrity has already been deeply damaged, he was arguing in a tweet, one of a whole slew of tweets over the last many hours, in which he has again been accusing the Democrats of trying to steal the election through the fraudulent use of postal ballots. There's no evidence to support his claim that that is what they are trying to do. And he hasn't had very much success over the past 10 days or so in the courts. Legal action was underway even before Election Day. So why the Republicans think they're going to have more success in the courts now that Election Day has passed is very unclear. And the sense has been growing here over the last few hours that for Donald Trump, options for success here may be beginning to evaporate. But we've seen many twists and turns on this campaign trail so far, and it's not over until it's over.
No, that's true. In fact, also the Secretary of State for Michigan earlier coming out said that all the valid ballots have already been fully counted and actually called, Donald Trump's legal suits pertaining to Michigan as frivolous. So perhaps it's going to be a dead end for the Trump campaign. Who knows? But getting off that topic just for a moment, Joe Biden seems to have an air of confidence at this point in time, even though nothing is conclusive as of yet, because we have to see exactly what the rest of the results look like in that landscape. But he has, of course, talked extensively about his climate action campaign program, spending $2 trillion US, and he's made some remarks just moments ago recently about that. So he must feel fairly confident that he's going to get the keys to the White House. But I mean, the question being is whether he's going to be able to push that initiative, an expensive initiative, through the Congress. And we still don't know. Yes, OK, the Democrats have held on to the House of Representatives, but we're still waiting on the Senate, I believe.
Yeah, and the Republicans seem pretty confident that they're going to retain control of the Senate. Mitch McConnell looked pretty serene today in Kentucky as he celebrated his own re-election victory. I mean, if we end up in a scenario where Joe Biden does become president of the United States, the Democrats have a smaller majority than they previously enjoyed in the House of Representatives, but the Republicans retain control of the Senate. All of the policy pledges that Joe Biden's been talking about on this election campaign trail, many of them will be dead on arrival here in Washington. We will be heading into a new entire chapter of political gridlock. We're already hearing that Joe Biden, who put the website for his transition online today, that's how confident he is that he's going to win this and become president, is having to reconsider some of the people that he had been planning to pick for cabinet positions and other high-level positions in the U.S. government, because if the Republicans control the Senate, he now recognizes that he might not be able to get some of those picks confirmed. By the way, also, if the Republicans continue to control the Senate, Elizabeth Warren entering the cabinet, Bernie Sanders entering the cabinet, Democrat senators entering the cabinet, I mean, that would become very problematic, because the last thing you'd want to do is spark special elections to replace them in the Senate off the back of an election here that has not delivered the Democrats the landslide that they were hoping. At the end of this election, whoever's in the White House, the other guy won more than 65 million votes. And that is a picture of a polarized America that the opinion polls absolutely did not paint in the dying weeks of this campaign.
Well, therein lies the enigma, in terms of the Electoral College voting system in the United States versus, say, the popular vote, which doesn't seem to matter as much, right? I mean, at the end of the day, you've got to get that 270. With that uncertainty, of course, on the table, Simon, what about the uncertainty on the streets? I mean, I heard that there were some protests in some of the cities in the U.S., including New York. I remember back in 2016 when I covered, the election back then, immediately when it was confirmed that Donald Trump was going to be America's 45th president, that, there were people on the streets up and down in where I was reporting from. What's the situation now? Because security has been a big issue.
Yeah, and remains a big issue. I mean, businesses and offices still boarded up tonight in Washington, D.C., just as they were 24 hours ago. It's been much quieter than I think many people feared. There were some demonstrators on the streets of Washington last night and again today. Same in New York, but low-level incidents of trouble in both of those cities. For Americans, I think it's important to remember that while Donald Trump keeps saying that what's happening here is unusual and it's fraudulent and the Democrats are trying to steal this election through postal votes have always been counted in the past. Americans are no stranger in many parts of the country to waiting days sometimes for the outcome of local races and elections. And so I think we are witnessing more patience than perhaps many people here expected in the aftermath of what we saw last night and those comments that President Trump made in the East Room of the White House. But again, at the end of the day, whoever wins, roughly half the electorate that participated in record-breaking numbers in this election will be sorely disappointed. And that sets the stage for not just political gridlock, but social uncertainty in the days, weeks and months ahead.
Simon, thank you very much for mapping it out for us there. That was Simon Marks, our U.S. Bureau Chief from Washington, D.C.